Adventures in Research. Hear that? Sounds kind of scary, as though some prehistoric monster was growling, ready to tear you, a human pygmy, limb from limb. But it's nothing like that at all. It's merely science at work, creating a man-made hurricane. This is Paul Shannon introducing another in the series of programs dealing with the thrilling adventures to be found in the field of scientific research, as told by the men of science themselves. And here, ready with today's story, is Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, everyone. You know, when you stop to think about it, this is a wonderfully scientific age we're living in. If anyone has any doubts about that, just cast your mind back to a matter of 10 years ago. Just imagine being at an airport 10 years ago and hearing this over a loudspeaker.
Passengers to London, flight number 612, 612, now loading at gate 6. Gate 6.
Hey, that's my plane. Well, goodbye. I'll drop you a cable when I arrive in London. Only takes about 16 hours flying time, you know. Goodbye.
Flight 114 from Paris, just arriving at gate 12. Flight 114 from Paris.
Chances are that had you heard that 10 years ago, you'd have had serious doubts about your hearing. But today, such announcements are hourly occurrences and are taken for granted.
Oh, sure. Transatlantic and Pacific flights are regular things today. I guess you might say that the age of flight has arrived at last.
You really think it has?
Oh, sure. All we need now is more of what we've got in the way of air transportation, and we're all set.
That's all right for now. What of the future?
Well, the future can take care of itself, I guess. Planes will get bigger and faster, that's all. And we'll all go right along with them. Take them in stride.
Mighty good thing for you that science is on the job to worry about the future for you, Mr. Shannon. Today, one of the big issues before some of the nation's best scientific brains concerns the airplane of tomorrow, the mammoth of the skies that will be bigger, faster, more revolutionary in design than any since man first mastered the theory of flight. If you were out west at a spot some few miles south of San Francisco and could tag along with a small group of visitors making a tour of inspection, you'd see men of science experimenting with a giant machine that creates hurricanes for testing airplanes.
And now, here is the building you're most interested in.
My, what a huge building. It's tremendous.
Almost 1,000 feet long. And inside that building is the world's largest wind tunnel.
Anybody working in there?
Oh, sure. Work goes on all the time. There's a great deal of experimenting to be done and not too much time to do it in. So the work of testing goes right along.
Well, can we go in and see what's happening in there?
Of course. Better stand back a bit while the doors are being opened.
My, just look at the size of those doors.
King size, all right.
Well, pretty nearly everything is king size here. Has to be that way because all of our tests are man-sized jobs. Used to be that wind tunnels were pretty small affairs compared to this one, but then they were designed to test models of planes. All right, we can go on into the tunnel now. This way, please.
My, I've never seen anything like this before. Why, it's tremendous.
Tremendous isn't the word for it. It's huge.
Certainly makes a person feel small and insignificant, doesn't it?
Standing here in the lip of this tunnel and looking down toward the other end, hundreds of feet away, gives me the impression of looking down the throat of some huge prehistoric animal, magnified 1,000 times.
Looks like the small end of a funnel down there, doesn't it? Say, what's going on there in the middle?
Oh, that's where they're testing. Now, watch your step, please. We're headed that way.
Look, see it up there? It's a model of a plane.
Yes, it looks pretty tiny, almost like a toy.
It isn't a toy, though. That's a full-size plane. It only looks like a model to you because your sense of proportion has been twisted out of shape by the hugeness of everything else around here. But suppose we head for the observation platform now where we can watch the test.
It's an odd-looking airplane, isn't it? I've never seen one like that before. Why, it hasn't any wings.
Well, it's a new design they're testing for stresses and strains. It has wings, all right. Look a little closer there. You'll see that they're folded about halfway back.
Well, for goodness sake.
The planes you'll see in this wind tunnel are not the planes you'll see flying around in the sky outside. You see, these are tomorrow's planes, new models of the future, being tested for safety and practicability way ahead of time.
I see. No wonder that one looks rather odd. Plane wings usually stick straight out from the fuselage, but these are folded back. Looks almost like a big dart headed for a target.
I imagine there's a lot of money tied up in that plane just the same, and in all the others.
Thousands of dollars. Invested by any one of a dozen plane makers.
What are those men doing under the plane? They look like pygmies in this tunnel, don't they?
Well, they're scientists. And they're checking the plane from every angle before the big test. They're checking the guy wires, the supports, making sure that everything's in order.
Last-minute checkup before the test, huh?
That's right. A few minutes more now, and you'll see a sight you'll never forget.
And what exactly are they looking for in the test?
Well, in this particular case, we want to know what happens to those half-closed wings when that plane is hit with winds traveling at 750 miles an hour.
750 miles an hour?
No more, no less.
But man, that's almost suicide, isn't it? Speed is speed, but 750 miles an hour.
It may sound like speed to you, but to an aviator, it's something more.
How do you mean more?
I mean that up in the air, the flyer runs into a barrier, a wall, pretty much like one you could ram into a car doing about 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And this wall, as you call it, is your problem, is that it?
Basically, yes. You see, flying at a speed of 750 miles an hour or thereabouts, planes run into what are called shock waves.
Uh-huh.
The leading edge of a plane wing is actually pushing air ahead of it.
Something like that blunt-nosed boat of yours pushes water ahead of it, Bill.
That's the idea, yes. But at 750 miles an hour, and at just about the speed of sound, you know, anything any blunter than the sharp edge of a knife starts to have real trouble.
Sure, it wouldn't be able to push air out of its way fast enough.
So the airplane is bumping its way through the air.
Well, it's actually bumping the air itself. Something like you drive an auto down a nice, broad highway at about 90 miles an hour and nudging the car ahead of you at about 100 nudges a minute.
Oh, heavens. I can just imagine what would happen to my car. It would probably jolt itself to pieces.
Exactly. Well, that same thing happens to a plane. The wings begin to shudder, and then they start flapping at the tips. And then suddenly the winds literally snap them off the body of the plane.
And if that happens when you're up around 10,000 feet, oh, brother.
750 miles an hour, you probably only have a fraction of a second to bail out.
Yes, and even if you could make it, the wind at that rate would tear you to pieces.
Well, all this information has given me a brand new appreciation of the work you're doing here. I've always been under the impression that safety begins in the sky. But I can see that the real safety measures begin right here in this wind tunnel, your safety laboratory.
Well, science wants to know how it can make a plane fly faster than sound. And this wind tunnel may help us find the answer.
Well, how about these planes, like the one you're going to test? Are they the planes that will take to the skies later on?
Maybe, and maybe not. Depends on how they operate under the test. These particular models that we test here are built as nearly perfect as possible. As perfect as care and engineering skill can make them. But they're built for test purposes only, and believe me, when they go through this wind tunnel test, they've really been through the mill.
I guess most of them break into pieces under the terrific strain, don't they?
Most of them, yes. Which is exactly what we want, because then we can investigate and find out why they broke. Well, I see they're just about ready for the big test now.
All clear in the tunnel. Stand by.
All clear. Let her go.
Man, oh man, just look at that plane, will you? It's a full-sized plane, and yet that wind is tossing it around like it was a cork almost.
No wonder they break up. Seems to me nothing on earth could stand up under that battery.
And yet those planes are specially built to stand up under it if they can, and at terrific speed, too.
And all this is just so that someday we'll be able to travel through the air at the speed of sound, or faster. That day must be a long way off, I imagine.
Maybe not as far off as you think. It may come in your and my lifetime. New York to Los Angeles in something like 2 hours.
Goodness. Imagine. I'm glad that's over. I was beginning to feel sorry for that poor plane being battered that way. Just look at it.
We'd better not go down to where the test plane is just yet. The scientists are checking up on the damage done. And that's too important a job to interfere with.
One thing I'm interested in is, what are other problems are there to be solved in these tests? Besides speed, I mean.
Well, there are a great many problems. Traveling through the air at terrific speed can be quite an experience, you know.
Kind of breathtaking.
Well, more than that. It can be something like being tossed into the pit of a blast furnace going full tilt. Don't forget, the plane of the future will be flying high above the stratosphere where there are temperatures of around 70 degrees or more below zero. Mm-hmm. And yet, in spite of that, tomorrow's supersonic planes will have to be built with a precise, exacting refrigeration system.
Why will they?
Well, it's all a question of friction. The friction of the air, you see, sliding over the sleek, streamlined body of the plane, heats it to extremely high temperatures.
Say, I never thought of that.
Neither did I. There'd be a tremendous amount of friction there.
Well, according to calculations and tests, at around 800 miles an hour, the body exterior of a plane may reach a surface temperature of 400 degrees Fahrenheit.
Hmm. In that case, your plane of the future, traveling at that 750 miles an hour speed, will have to be a flying icebox.
Something like that, yes.
What about the controls on a plane traveling at that speed?
Well, that's another problem, also being worked out. At the speed of sound, or thereabouts, the controls in a plane exactly reverse themselves.
Huh. Makes it quite a problem in itself.
Yes. But by using wind tunnels, such as this one, science can, and eventually will, solve all these various problems.
However, this wind tunnel is only a testing ground. Such a plane has to get the final test when the plane is actually flown by a human being in the sky.
Well, that's true. But that kind of test is coming through. We've about reached the end of our experimental rope here, and the time is coming, close now, when a test pilot will do that very thing. We'll actually fly one of these planes of the future just to give it a final okay.
Well, he can have that job. I wouldn't want it.
Nobody has ever flown that fast before, have they?
Well, there have been a few isolated cases in which test pilots got planes going at terrific speeds in the past few years. At least it's believed they were going 700 or so miles an hour. But in all cases, the planes were diving toward the ground.
That's pretty dangerous, I'd say.
Yes. The few pilots who survived such experiences reported that their plane was completely out of control. They bailed out before the planes reached the 750-mile-an-hour limit.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye open for news the test pilot has flown as fast or faster than sound.
And if the test flight is a success, well, it looks as though we're in for a new age of flight, the super speed age.
Yes, and thanks to these experiments with radio-controlled models and wind tunnel tests, and to the men of science who conduct them, a new age of superspeed flight will be safer for the men who do the testing in the sky, and for you, who will travel swiftly to the far corners of the earth in those planes of tomorrow.
Of the Hurricane Maker was told by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Join us again next week when Dr. Thomas will be back with another interesting story to tell on Adventures in Research.